Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Not Another Teacher Podcast with me, Martin Malone.
And me, Poppy Gibson.
We're here to help you protect your mental and physical health so that you can thrive both in and out of the classroom. Episode 8. Through these. Won't be long until we're in double figures.
Yeah, I think this is the longest I've ever stuck with anything. So go us.
I'm sure you did teach radio for a while.
Actually, yeah, that lasted a year. That was good. That had a good run. But yeah, week 8. This is cool. Happy to be here.
I know. It'll be a good one.
It will, because do you know what? You know, do you remember last week in week 7, we were talking about coping strategies?
Yeah.
One that I didn't mention to you, actually, dear listeners and dear Martin, was, for me, reading is such a good escapism.
Yeah.
And I know loads of our listeners love reading as well, whether that's fiction, nonfiction, blogs, just stuff on socials. That all counts as reading. But I'm going through a bit of a phase where I mostly read trashy fiction. I mostly read murder fiction, like slasher stuff. But I also love the odd kind of reflective, kind of, you know, self-actualization type stuff.
Yeah.
And so I want to tell you, Martin, about this book that I was reading since we last met for episode 7. It's by Margie Worrell. Have you heard of Margie?
I've not heard of her.
I actually hadn't heard of her before I started reading this book. She's written a few books, and they're all about kind of finding your strength, finding your purpose. She's done some TED Talk stuff. I've had a little dig around. I'm just starting to learn about Margie Worrell, but something that really caught my eye that I wanted to bring to our episode today. She says that to really get the most from life, we need to ask ourselves continually, like not just once, but continually ask ourselves, what is our why? So I thought for fun today, I'm going to get you to reflect on what is your why and what is your purpose? Does that sound okay?
No, it sounds good to me.
Okay, cool. So, and obviously listeners listening as well, feel free to pause the podcast after I ask the questions.
I think it'd be good for you to answer it though as well.
Oh, what, me as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, maybe. Oh, you go first. If you go first.
Okay.
Because do you know what? I think as an educator, we sometimes forget our why, like we forget our passion and we forget why we went into it, don't we? I know.
Yeah.
If listeners listen to, it was episode 2 and 3, wasn't it? Where I asked you all about your life and you asked me about mine. Sometimes we forget that. We forget what the vision was and what our values are. So today we're going to put it back on the map. And it's got 4 questions. Reckon we can do this in half an hour?
Yeah, we should be able to.
Let's do it. If we run out of time for me to answer, that is also fine. All right, so according to Margie Worrell, to continue finding our purpose and joy in life, we should ask ourselves these 4 questions. So I'll tell you the 4 questions and then I'll ask you number 1 again. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that sounds good. Go with them first.
Cool. So these are her 4 questions. So number 1, what makes you come alive? Number 2, what are your innate strengths? Number 3, where do you add the greatest value? And number 4, how will you measure your life? Okay, so they're getting a bit deeper as we go down. Let's go back to number 1. Okay, so Martin, number 1, I want to know, and our listeners want to know, what makes you come alive?
Do you know what? I think for me, like coming alive for me is definitely all about like passion and excitement and something. Like if I'm excited about it, then I'll really jump into it. And I think that's a big thing, like why I've kind of built a like online fitness program, because that excites me. Like I was doing one-to-one for a while. And I just used to find like spending an hour with someone once a week or twice a week, like it wasn't making that change where when I do online, it can make that change. And you can also have that bit more of an impact there. And I think it was the same in the classroom. Like the fact that I was able to control, I know obviously you've got the curriculum and you've got stuff you've got to teach, but you've got that control over it. And I think by being able to have that control over it, then I can pick out the things which excite me, which make me passionate about it. And then that always gives me kind of the energy to come alive and stuff. And I think that's a big one for me. Like, excitement will make me come alive with it. So it's finding the things that I want to do which excite me.
I love that. So now I guess your excitement is as a PT, helping people with fitness. Yeah. Did you still have that passion for fitness when you were a teacher? Did you do any like sports clubs, or has that kind of come later?
Yeah, so I kind of did. I did like the sports clubs and stuff like that. And again, I do football, I do rugby. But for me, it was just with everything. It was just like, whether it's fitness, whether it's teaching, whatever it is, it's that excitement to do something. Mm-hmm. And knowing like that excitement along the way almost like fulfills that prophecy with it, where it's going to go well because you're excited about it. So you're going to put effort into it. So then it's going to grow that way. And that is always the biggest one. I was come alive. When I think about like what makes me come alive, it's what makes me like do something. And I definitely have more excitement for stuff when I'm like, oh, I'm excited for this, but I want to do it. And it's getting out of bed, it's doing even the mundane tasks, finding something which is going to excite you in them. So even if I'm like cleaning up and I can't be bothered, if I've got a podcast that I want to listen to,
mm-hmm.
that'll make me that. You know, like little things like that.
That's clever. You know, I that's what I really like about you, actually. Like, your excitement does come across. Like, listeners, honestly, whenever Martin and I, like, roll into the podcast studio, like, I like rolling, like, a piece of trash, like, under a grey cloud. And Martin, like, whatever day we meet, whatever time of day, Martin is, like, shiny, excited and eager. Like, I love that about you. And I think it's contagious.
Yeah, and you know what? I just cut out the stuff that I don't get excited by.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, it's stuff like that. Like, I know, don't get me wrong, I know you write books, and like they're like, you write books and stuff like that, and that's like one of your passions, obviously, that you're doing. Like, to me, writing is just, maybe one day it'll change, but to me, writing is just not something that I value for myself personally. Like, I'd be like, oh my god. And I see a lot in fitness at the minute and teaching. There's a very big trend of like teachers writing books, PTs writing books. And I just know, may change in years to come, that maybe someone might say, have you ever thought about doing it like this? And I'd be like, oh, I want to do it like that. Till then, you could not get me to write a book.
All right. Okay. Wait. Right. I'm going to, let's make a pact. Okay. We're going to make a not another teacher pact. If we make it to episode 52, that'll be a year, right? That'll be a year. If we make it to a year, episode 52, we are going to write a book proposal on this, and we're going to do the Poppy and Martin book, and I'll coach you through. Okay, that's right. I'm saying it now on episode 8.
If we get to 52 episodes and we can find a way where it's just not me typing on the screen, then yeah, I'd be like,
so basically what I type it, you can narrate the audiobook. There we go.
To be fair, with a book, I do often think, I don't know how you do it, and it's definitely not my forte with it, but I always think that like teaching books miss a trick with not making them not kid friendly, but in that kid style.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books and stuff like that, where they're more bite-sized, because I always think teachers are so burnt out. You don't want to read a giant big textbook one.
Although there are some great big ones, though. There are some good
I know that. I just mean kind of for the day-to-day teacher who's maybe like tired, like where you can just open a book and just go, look at that page from and your it's avoidance just got of something book. On it.
I think this is your projection. This is you avoiding books. We'll have to unpack this. We'll do an episode, Why Martin Hates Books.
I don't mind books. Do you know what? It's probably the dyslexia. Me just like, no books, thanks.
Yeah, maybe. Do you know what? Maybe. Okay, right. Margie World did not ask us to ask what we don't like, so we're not going to focus on that. Okay, so you've answered what makes you come alive.
Yeah.
Let's go on to number two. Because I think you kind of covered mine in there as well. Mine, similar to you, is finding excitement.
Yeah.
And then finding people who share that excitement. Like, that's why I love doing the podcast with you. That's why I love all the people that I've, you know, involved in writing the books that you aforementioned. Because there's something so exciting when you collaborate. Like, we're so much more powerful than when we're on our own, because you get a different perspective. Like, even look at us, like, we both taught for like 11 years, like a decade, but we're so different. And I think that's what I love. Like, I love people that challenge your perception of life and encourage you to like think about how you do things. So yeah, what makes me come alive definitely is about connecting with people and learn their perspective. Okay, so number two for you, I'm guessing the answer for this is not going to be reading, I'm just going to say. Right, number two, Martin, is what are your innate strengths? So like, yeah, what do you think are your core strengths in life?
I always think my like biggest strength actually comes from that, like what makes you come alive as well. So, you know, like where I was talking before about, I only really want to do stuff that excites me. So I will often, I used to do it in teaching all the time, I would find the quickest, simplest way to do stuff that I didn't want to do. Like I would rather spend an hour trying to figure out how to not do something and do it in a way I wanted it to do, then know that every week I'd have to do it.
Okay. So you're like a problem solver. Would you say you're like a good problem solver?
Yeah, problem solving is definitely my one. Like, and I think that's the thing. It's just like, it's looking from all the ways till I can find the way that I want to do it. And I think that's a big one for me, because I think it's probably part of dyslexia and probably part of my ADHD, where like there is ways where I know, like, I'll do it that way. That's it done. Do you know what I mean? And I'll always do it that way. But that way I don't like doing it. So even though that way might take half an hour and that way might take 10 minutes, I don't like that 10 minutes. So that it is going to take me 2 hours.
Okay, so actually, reading between the lines, it sounds like another of your innate strengths is being your authentic self, which I think we spoke about in a previous episode, but it sounds like that's a really good strength for you, is being true to yourself, right?
Yeah, and I think, and it was always like that in the classroom as well. I'd always try and do, there's all the tasks which teachers just don't want to do. And I think half the time it's sitting down and thinking, okay, well, do I need to do that? And then the other time thinking, okay, well, I have to do that. What's the solution around it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's little things like that, like tiny things, like in maths, we used to have a thing of, you know, if they got all the questions wrong, you had to do some simpler questions in the book so that they could do them to practice so they kind of got it. Mm-hmm. If they got it, but not quite, they had to have some more practice questions. And if they really got it, they had to have like something to challenge them. And then in the morning when they come in, they'd have to do that. That was like one of our things, like in the school.
Yeah.
And teachers would sit there and they'd put them all in. And I was like, I'm just going to print out a sheet which has that on, like four, three things. And the kids would mark their own work at the end of the class and then stick this in. And then I would just take all the books in, look at what they've got, and then just circle to do.
Yeah.
You know, like little things like that. So it took longer to get the system made up, but I didn't have to write questions in all the books. I didn't have to stick anything in. And it was like systems and routines that way.
So definitely you're a problem solver then.
Yeah. I'd say that's my bigger one, but especially with stuff that I didn't want to do. Like, if I don't want to do it, then it really comes alive in, like, well, how can I fix that so I don't have to do it? Or it can be done in a way where I want to do it.
I love that. I'm also hearing now why you left teaching. Because you can't always do it your way. But I think that's such a good way to live. Like, that's to have your own values at the heart of what you do is really cool. So just well done to you for that. I think Margie Worrell would be proud of that. Look at my seamless link back to the list of questions.
What about yours? What would you say yours is?
My innate strength? Do you know what? I think I'm quite good at coming up with ideas. Well, I think it's actually also my curse, because I'll lie in bed at night, and what keeps me awake at night is new dreams and new ideas.
Yeah.
I saw this really funny thing on Instagram today, my friend shared, and it said, It said, I've ended more things than you've started. No, I've given up on more things than you started. That sounds like me. Like, I've probably had every hobby under the sun. I've done Egyptian belly dancing. I've done golf. Like, I thought I was going to be a pro golfer. I owned my own face painting business for a while. I was a life coach for 2 years. Like, I've done most hobbies in the world. And then got bored and moved on. But they've all taught me something. And I think I love coming up with new ideas, trying new stuff. So I think my strength is risk taking.
Yeah.
But equally, yeah, it's a curse because I'm always thinking, what's the next thing? Like, even like the day after I get a new job, I'll be like on the job page. I'm just that kind of person. Like, I think we spoke about that when we said you were in a school for 10 years and I was in 5 schools in that time. Like, I just think the world's so big and exciting. Like, I just love looking for the next thing. But yeah, it's also a bit detrimental sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a strength and a weakness.
You know what? Again, like we were talking about before, it's like them different personality traits, different values, so different and stuff. Like, you went from school to school and were like, oh, what's the next school like? Or what's this school like?
Yeah.
My goal was very much, once I was in a school I liked, it was like, right. How can I make next year even easier for me? How can I make next year even easier for me? And I knew if I went to a new school, like, I have to do all that again.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've got this. Now let's add this.
Yeah. I mean, your way actually sounds more efficient, but we both loved our journeys. And I think for anyone listening who's a teacher or even just anyone in employment listening, either way is fine. Don't feel
100%.
Don't feel that one way is right. Like, and that's what it's about. I think we're both good at that, actually, Martin. I think we're both good at realizing what serves us and what we want in life.
Yeah. And do you know what? I think it depends what you want in life as well.
Yeah, like, it does. Think,
because your way you did it 100% is a fast track way to, like, I would say, become a head teacher. Like, the school
although then I didn't do that, but
you didn't that do that. But I'm saying, but you know, to jump up. So imagine, you know, to be like the leader of a key stage, and then be an assistant head, and then be it's jumping from school to school. Where, like, in mine, we had a head and a deputy, and then we had an unofficial, like, third in command. Now, when the head left, the deputy become the head. The like unofficial third in command become the deputy, and then the teacher who would be in there the longest after them become the unofficial third. Now, there was 7 of us. When I left, I think there was only one teacher who'd been there less time than me. Like it would have taken like all of them to leave for me to get any progression.
You were in like a hierarchy.
Yeah, but I wasn't looking for that progression. I wasn't, you know, it would have come across. Like, I went for an interview for an assistant head job, and that was actually what pushed me out of teaching me. I was like, maybe I don't want this.
Yeah.
But when I was in that school, like, you know, where you might have schools where you'll see someone come up and you go, oh, I could go for that, or I could go for that. Mm-hmm. Like, I imagine you didn't go for anything, which was, you know, less. It'd always be, oh, well, that's got something exciting which I'll go to, and that's got something exciting which I'll go to. Where mine was very much, my job was the same. I went up the pay scale, the normal pay scale and stuff like that, but my job was my job from, I would say, my second year to my, like, 10th.
That's so cool. But yeah, I think we spoke about that makes me itchy. But for you, it was cool. And so, what I still love is that was the right thing for you, and like that was you, and that your journey would not have made sense to be moving around. It would not have been what was right for you. Okay, so we've got two. I'm really conscious of our time, Martin. Like, you have too many good things to say. Okay, so Margie Worrell says the third question we should ask ourselves to keep finding our purpose in life is, where do you add the greatest value?
I think, I don't know, if I was to look at anything, it'd probably be in, like, building relationships, I'd say, and supporting people. And that's probably, it'd probably be very similar for a lot of teachers, because you're supporting that classroom, aren't you? And then you're supporting the other teachers, you're supporting the other people. And now, my job now is supporting people who are struggling with their health, struggling with their fitness, struggling with the work-life balance. I think that's a big one for me. It's like sitting, it's talking with someone, and then it's just coming up with ideas together. Like, a lot like what we do on this.
Yeah.
We start with an idea, and then we just talk about it. I'd say that's where probably my greatest value comes, just like chatting and talking that way.
Yeah. So I guess your greatest value is like a coach, right? You are kind of like a coach. Like, would you say more of like a coach or a mentor? Like, do you see a difference between those two terms?
I'd probably say coach. And I've never really thought about the difference between the two, but I always feel like a mentor would always be like higher up than you, if that makes sense. Like, you wouldn't, you know, it would be the head mentor and the deputy. You would never get the deputy mentor and the head, would you? Where I think with a coach, you can be you can be on level playing field.
Yeah.
But I think that's the difference.
And do you know, I do think like that's definitely one of your strengths, is like your coaching style, because it might have been last week when we spoke about, yeah, it was. Do you remember last week in week 7, we spoke about coping strategies and you said how you get your clients to send you voice notes?
Yeah.
But actually, it's not you giving them advice, it's you giving them the strength to reflect.
Yeah.
So that is definitely like a coaching style, isn't it? Like, you're making them find the answer within themselves.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. You're
just chatting,
sure,
and just talking.
Yeah.
It is just the content ideas. But yeah, I'd say that's probably the greatest value, is just talking and chatting, as you say, and coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I see that for you. And it's interesting how you've done that all through your career as well. That's kind of cool to reflect on, isn't it? It's quite cool to...
What about summarize. You? What would you say yours is?
Do you know, I would hope other people would agree. I love empowering people. I think that's what I love about education, like particularly people who don't think they should have a voice, like with my books. So like my favourite book I think I've done to date was my most recent, Primary Teacher Solutions, because we've got 143 educators who wrote little bits in that book. Although me and my two co-authors, Robert Morgan and Ashley Brett, we wrote the most of it, but we've got 143 little snippets from other people who, and I even had 6 of my students in there. Like, when I approach my students, do you want to write a bit of my book? They're like, oh no, like, I'm just a student. I'm not even a full-time teacher yet. And I said, but you've got such great experience. You know, they were TAs in schools.
Yeah.
And they were like, what, are you sure? Are you sure I can? And like, so I really love that. I really love, and that's why I love writing. I love seeing it as a vehicle for others as much as it's a vehicle for me, because I do love seeing my name on a book. But I love what it can bring, the opportunity for others to get their name in a book and to realise they are so valuable, because I think as teachers, we don't always feel we have a voice. So yeah, I would hope as well my students in campus feel that, because I really care about them and I want to help them see their value and lift themselves up. So hopefully something around empowering people, I
can see that. And I can see that, you know, just even in like little ways, like even like your Twitter, like you'll put a post up, say on the podcast, so it'll always have me linked in it as well. And then it'll, like, there'll be just people chatting to you saying like, hello, or hope you did. And you will reply to like every single person on it. And sometimes there's like 200 people. And it might be like 3 days later, someone will message and be like, hope you're having a good day. And you'll message back like to them. And to me, that's that idea of like, you're valuing them, you're empowering them, you're giving them that little bit of time. Because I know like on Instagram, people will comment, and sometimes I'll look at it and I'll go, like, sometimes I'll see them and I'll go, oh, I'll do that later, and then like 2 days pass and I go, oh, I should have done that. Where I think you're,
but it is time consuming, it is, isn't it? But thank you, that's nice to notice. And
because
I never want people to feel like ignored, but you're right, it is hard, and there's definitely some kind of social media fatigue.
Yeah.
And then also definitely like my guilt, like, I didn't, or someone will say to me, you didn't reply to me, and I'll be like, that's because I got like 100 replies, like and I'm a human, like, I wish this was my job to just live on Twitter. I was like, Elon Musk, if you need someone to do that, I will do that. But unfortunately I do have a full-time day job and, you know, other responsibilities, but No, that's nice. Thank you. I'm loving today's episode. That's very nice. And I hope anyone listening is also thinking, where do you add value? Because you definitely do, whatever job you're in. Anyone you associate with, you're adding value to their life as well. So I hope listeners, hope you're playing along at home. And look at this, we're on to our last question. This is the deep one, Martin. Are you ready?
Go on.
Okay. Listeners as well, I want you to question. Question 4, how will you measure your life?
Do you know what? I always think with this one, like, the biggest one for me with measuring my life is just, like, not having to work. And I think that's the big one for me. And it's probably linked to, like, the other ones we were talking about before. But, like, I see what I do now as a job. Like, where I'm coaching people, I'm chatting with them, I'm talking with them, and just connecting with people that way. When I was teaching, I never felt teaching was a job. I used to think the stuff around teaching was a job, where I had to do the data or the marking or the planning. But actually, like, the 9 till 3 wasn't a job. It was just connecting with the kids. And it's the same with, like, the coaching. And that's for me, that big one. Like, if I can get to retirement age and not feel like I've had a proper job, that'll be the big one for me.
Oh, I love that. I love that. They say you should love what you do, and it sounds like you really do.
Oh, yeah, I love it. And it's just that thing of just, like, I think don't get me wrong, I'd go back to the classroom tomorrow. It wouldn't bother me. But the biggest one I do, like, from what I do now, is just the freedom of it. Like, yeah. I control all my day and I have all that. And there's, even though I control all my day, there's still things where I go, like, oh, like, after this, I've got a bit of admin to do and stuff like that. Because mm-hmm. it's all on my time, it still feels like it's just freedom that way. When I was teaching, it was the freedom that even though you had to teach this and then teach this, you got control over it. And that's mm-hmm. to me the biggest one. Like, I think having that control over your own life and just, like, not feeling like you have to work. Like, I could think of nothing worse than, like, waking up every morning and having to go and do something that I didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's really good. And I love that you're already living that. Like, you're living what you want your life to be. That's amazing. And I think mine's similar. How will I measure my life? Yeah, I think it's about having no regrets.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any regrets. Like, whenever I've started to feel unhappy in a role, or I've stopped feeling valued in a school, or I felt like there's something else out there where I'd be better suited, like, I've just gone for it.
Yeah.
And I've never had a regret. I've never stayed in a job. Like, I think I told you one school where I was unhappy, I left after a term. Like you did, you left the school really quick. Like, same as that. I've never stayed unhappy.
Yeah.
And so I guess, yeah, the measure of my life would be kind of me, like, 90, like, we'll be on episode what by then? So episode 8 million.
And
I'll just be thinking, I'm pretty happy. Like, I'm happy with the choices I made. Even when I've, like, gone to school, I didn't fit, I've then left. So I've never lived with regret. I've never lived in unhappiness. And I've always just moved on and being free. Like, it's really strange, isn't it, how we're so different, but I think we do have some similar core values. Yeah. Like,
that's I've always wanted. This works.
Yeah, this is why this works. Like, we're like chalk and cheese, but also similar. Yeah, just, I've always felt like I'm in the driving seat. And when the hardest thing for me is when people say, like, they're unhappy, because I always say to them, like, only you can decide what to do, but you're in the driving seat. And I think if I could get to the end of my life just feeling like I've done what I've wanted and I've been happy, like, that's it. That's a good life for me. And hopefully just loads more ferrets and dogs. Nice. And then, and maybe in the Bahamas.
Wouldn't be a bad one.
And even, my God, Martin, have you seen those giant croissants that are everywhere on Instagram at the moment?
No.
The giant croissants. Okay, well, they're saying, instead of doing your admin after this episode, if any listeners, if you haven't seen the giant croissants, they're a new thing. They're like, they're bigger than your head, and you just dip the tip of them in your coffee. Yeah, it's a new craze. And there's also the crookie. Have you seen the crookie?
No.
My croissant Instagram, cookie.
Since I've started making their memes, my Instagram is just full of memes. Like, I don't see anything apart from teacher memes now.
We wouldn't want you to do anything else, Martin. We love your teaching memes, but should you need a break, or should our listeners need a break, there is a big thing at the moment on socials, the crookie, a croissant covered in cookie dough. Yeah. So it's half croissant, half cookie, the crookie. Yeah, I don't know how we got onto that. But yeah, that's what I'll be eating. When I'm 90, if I'm eating a crookie.
In the Bahamas.
Yeah, and feeling like I've been in control of life, that's all we could want. So I think Margie Warder would be quite happy with our answers here. That's a good reflection.
Nice, not too bad. Well, yeah. So they all wrapped up then.
I'm feeling like very positive about life right now. I hope our listeners are too. I love today's episode.
No, I hope they did. Hope they enjoyed it. It'd be good to hear. It'd be good to hear anything if they just want to send you a DM or send me a DM. Yay. Even write us a review. That'd always be a good one. Even just stars.
I saw we've already got like 12.
We've got a decent amount, haven't we?
Yeah, and I think we're on 4 point something out of 5. So I was very happy. So thank you, people that have rated. And if you haven't, it'd be very much. I feel like an Uber driver. Please give us 5 stars. If you've had a smooth journey through the last 31 minutes.
you could get 30 straight away. Well, even more, just make them all in the lecture. Just be like, right, get your phones out.
Yeah, no one's leaving the lecture theatre until I'm at 4.9.
This is your attendance today. Just put your review in.
Yeah, any students listening, I cannot confirm or deny if it'll count towards your grade, but please do write a review.
Not bad. I think we should wrap it up there then. But it's been
fun. Yeah, thanks everyone for joining this crazy madness that we call Not Another Teacher Podcast. It's been fun.
Bad, right? Bye now, everyone.
Bye.